Bibles, and if you would once again turn to the little, it's not the little book, but it's the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. Man, I all of a sudden got a frog in my throat. That. And we have been looking at how important it is to utilize your your spiritual gifts in the service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to review a little bit, the believers identified with the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 and 13. It says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, whether we have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So, as I mentioned to you last week, what we see here is that believers in Christ who are born again, the analogy is that we're a body. We're a body together. And we also saw that the way that we get into that body is by trusting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And the moment we do that, we are placed into the body of Christ. That's called Holy Spirit baptism. At the moment of conversion, the Holy Spirit places the believer into the body of Christ. Nothing noticeably happens. I mean, you don't start blabbering in tongues, as some would have you teach, and that sort of things. It is something that happens instantaneously. And then at the same time, not only are you placed in the body of Christ, but the Holy Spirit is placed in you. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to be able to do what God calls you to do. The Bible says in Philippians, "It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." In other words, the will is God gives you the desire. Thank you, Steve. God gives you the desire and the power to do what you're supposed to do as a believer. So, as I've often said to you, if you think that you get saved so that you can sit, soak, and sour, you're sadly mistaken. That's not the purpose. You are to be, and you are, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we've seen that already. Roman numeral number 2, believers are individualized within the body of Christ. That means, well, let's look at verse 15 and 16. We look at verse 15 and 16. It says, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it not therefore of the body? And if the ear say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" What we have here is the picture of the foot saying, you know, I'm not a part of this. I'm not a part of this. Certainly there's diversity in the body, but the body needs to function together. Even though you have individual jobs to do in the body of Jesus Christ, it needs to be coordinated so that the body is not spastic, you know, so that you can accomplish something for the cause of Christ. There's a need of diversity. There certainly is. Look at verse 17. It says, "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing?" We need all different kinds of gifts in the body of Christ. Look at verse 19 and 20. It says, "And if they were all one member, where were the body?" But it says, "But now are they many members, but one body." It's essential that there's diversity in the body of Christ. Only a combination of these body parts can work together to function properly and efficiently in the body of Christ. So basically, we need you, but we need you to function. You each have gifts. You each have different things that you need to do. Now, one thing that we didn't look at last week, so I'm picking up here, who is the author of this diversity, these different gifts in the body of Christ? Verse 18 tells us. Let's look at verse 18. It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." You know, if you've been brought into the First Baptist Church, if you've been born again, you've been saved, and you've come into First Baptist Church, you know who put you there? I believe that God makes people for a church and a church for people. I don't believe it's an accident. And it's God who gives the diversity of gifts in the church. And God wants this diversity. And he knows that when it functions properly, it functions efficiently. When all the members cooperate together, keep their eyes on Jesus Christ, keep their eyes on the prize, do what they're called to do. Problem is, sometimes people pout. And people say, "Oh, that person's getting more recognition than me. Oh, woe is me." Well, Roman numeral number 3. Believers involved in the body of Christ. Let's look at verse 21. There is a danger. And the danger is of uninvolvement. Let's look at verse 21. "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee." Oh, really? "Nor, again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you." You know, one of the temptations faced by those possessing, you know, the more visual spiritual gifts, and also they have a greater responsibility, by the way, is arrogance. You see this there? "I have no need of thee." You know what? That's just plain arrogant. You do. If you look at that, you look how stupid it is. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of thee." I mean, the eye can see something and want it picked up, but what if the hand won't pick it up? Yeah. "I don't need you." "Oh, really? Well, I don't need you in the body of Christ." No. We're there for a purpose. God has put us there. You know, sometimes people assume, "Well, we don't need these people with the lesser gifts." You know, I worked with a brother yesterday, and that guy wouldn't give up. I'm glad he wouldn't, because right above there was a spotlight broken off in the socket. I'm a little bit taller than he is. Well, that's depending whether we're laying down or not. If we're laying down, I'm a little taller than he is. But anyway, I got on the top of the ladder, and I was going to reach up there with a pair of needle-nose pliers. The electric was off. Well, at least he said it was. But, you know, I was about this far away from reaching it, and I was on the top rung, and I wouldn't stand on the little platform. It just wasn't safe. And he said, "Don't stand up there." And so we tried a potato, put it on a thing, and tried it. Because sometimes that works. You can do that. I've seen people do that. And then we tried some paper mache cone type of thing, and that didn't work. And then he got the bright idea of, why not take a pair of needle-nose pliers and tape it there, but just have it partly open. And I'm thinking, yeah, sure, right, I know you work at Granger, but give me a break. Now, I didn't say any of that to him. But you know what? I'm glad he was a part of the body. Guess what? Got it out. And I got light. Praise the Lord for that. And so, you know, it takes everybody. I'm just telling you, it takes everybody. Don't just because somebody doesn't have one of the visible gifts, somebody isn't singing in the choir, somebody isn't preaching, somebody isn't teaching, don't think that you are not needed. We need many people to function. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Because the head might want to go someplace, but if it thinks it doesn't need the feet, guess what? You're going no place fast. And that's exactly the whole point in that situation. Believers who consider themselves to be more spiritually advanced than others often don't want to involve themselves in the work of the ministry. They believe that they can rely upon themselves for spiritual growth and edification. However, independence in the body of Christ goes against God's plan. Believers are dependent on each other and on each other's spiritual gifts. Now, let's look at God's design for involvement. And I just say the weaker members are important. Now, I'm doing that because that's what it's called here. Let's look at verse 22 through 24. Nay, it says, much more, those members of the body which seem more feeble are what? Necessary. Ooh. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. It says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the parts which lack. Now, let me explain what it's talking about here. The eye is extremely delicate, but it is central to a person's well-being and productivity, is it not? Indeed, it is. And many other organs are which are not seen are very vital to life. Melody just told us about her mom's liver being damaged, and they're trying to take care of that because guess what? I want to tell you something. Livers are ugly, but you need them. You need them. And so we might think, that gift, that's not important. Sorry, that could be a liver gift. Or what about the heart? The heart's very delicate, but do you need the heart? Let me tell you, if it quits pumping, you recognize you need the heart. Those members may be delicate, they may be unattractive or even unseemly, but they are necessary. So I just say that the spiritual application is pretty obvious, is it not? Often those gifts which seem less vital are most important to the health of the church. In the physical body, the private parts are treated with care and modestly clothed. And yet they're needed. The church needs to understand. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about us as believers here. There's lots of... You know what? I want to tell you something. Deacons' meetings are boring. But you know what? They're necessary. And these deacons come and they lay out work that needs to be done so that Pastor Darrow and I can give ourselves to studying and preaching and those type of things. And they parse out what needs to be this and what needs to be that. And they spend 5 minutes trying to figure out or 10 minutes trying to figure out this, that, or other thing. Boring! But you know what? I'm glad we got them. Because it's behind those scenes that we don't get shut down. Because, you know, see those little exit lights? We get too many of those out, and the fire marshal says, no way. There's all kinds of things. There's little coordination things like when the sprinklers get serviced and when the fire extinguishers get serviced and when the elevator gets serviced and when, I mean, there is a whole raft of those things. And you know, it's kind of like at my house. I've missed my sock ferry this week. I can't understand it exactly. Towards the end of each week, my socks get way down. But it amazes me. I go away to study on Friday and Saturday nights, and when I come back on Saturday nights, I have a whole new drawer of socks. And so I haven't exactly figured out where that comes from. And the same one must be the handkerchief fairy, because I carry a handkerchief and I carry a new one every day. And you know what? They start getting down, then they're back there again. But you see what I mean? There's lots of things that take place in the body that are not seen, that are done by faithful people who are using their abilities and their talents for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need them all. We need them all. Let's look at verses 25 and 26. The necessity of mutual concern. The necessity of mutual concern. Verse 25. It says this. That there should be no schism in the body. That's important, that there's no division in relationship to who is serving here and who is serving there. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, too many chiefs but not enough Indians? You know, that can happen when everybody wants to be a chief, nobody wants to be an Indian. There needs to be a head. But have you ever tried one of the most difficult jobs that I ever had? I had two bosses. And the problem was that the two bosses didn't have their act together. One boss would say, now I want you to do this now. And the other boss had already told me that he wanted me to do that. I finally kind of got them together and I said, hey, you know, one of you has to have the final say. I get in trouble because he told me to do this and you told me to do that. And I can't do them both at the same time. So decide who's the boss and then tell me what to do and I'll do it. I said it much kinder than that, but basically that's what I said. Because you can't have two people trying to take the lead, or everybody trying to take the lead, because then there's division. Nobody can make up their mind. They're fighting over it. It says, but that the members, look at this, should have the same care one for another. And so we need to recognize our purpose. We all have a purpose in the body. And we need to find out, you know, what that purpose is. Then we need to serve that purpose for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ under the direction of the under-shepherd and go forward with that. Verse 26, it says this, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members be honored with it. You know, I like verse 27. It says, for now ye are the body of Christ. That's it. In this local church, we're the body of Christ. Our chief shepherd has given us our marching orders. He has given us pastors, given us deacons, given us teachers. He's given us people with a diversity of gifts. And don't be jealous of somebody else's gifts. Use what you have and don't moan about what you lack. Because, very clearly, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. I'm glad you're here. But I'll tell you what. I want you to find a niche. I want you to fill that niche. I want you to serve the Lord. And I don't want you to be whining about it. We're not talking about doctrine or any of that sort of thing. We're talking about serving the Lord, being a part of the body of Christ, and getting in and getting going and getting busy so we can advance the cause of Christ. I know this is a Sunday evening crowd. And a lot of you are serving. Thank God for the many people who serve the Lord Jesus Christ consistently, regularly. They're not, you're not obviously not just Sunday morning Christians. I got a pack of them. We need 200 any Sunday morning. Maybe we have 100 here tonight. I doubt it. But anyway, I'm glad you're here. We're the body of Christ. We need to keep on keeping on and redeem the time because the days are evil. And so, as I've told you so many times before, you can't pull when you're kicking, but you can't kick when you're pulling. Now think about that. I happen to like large draft horses. And it's very interesting to see those large draft horses under a load in straining and pulling, because you know what? They're not kicking when they're pulling. They're using every ounce of their energy to do that job. But you know, if you're not pulling, it's real easy to be the sideline quarterback and kick and criticize. You know, I don't like how such and such teaches. It's not a matter of doctrine. You just don't like their style. Or you don't like, you know, you don't like their personality. Aren't you glad we all don't have the same personality? You know, who would laugh at my stupid jokes if we all had the same personality, you know? You get what I'm saying. Just remember, God has distributed to this local body certain gifts, certain abilities, and certain talents. And it isn't for our own personal edification. It is not just for our own personal edification. You know what? It's to minister to the body. And then when we function as a body, guess what? Not only do we minister to others, but they minister to us. A little short series, but one I hope you pick up some thoughts on. Let's pray.